In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, and we shared together that the outworking of trying to handle your life under the sun on planet Earth, apart from God, leaving God out of the picture, how do humans look at life? How much can they profit from trying to look at life without God? If you leave God out, what on earth are we left with? So, here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we share together in verse 4, we had read and shared, "For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, expectancy. For a living dog is better than a dead lion." Remember, a dog to the Israelite and to others was an animal of contempt, a scavenger, unclean, and a dog. So better to be. It's much better to be alive and miserable on earth than it is to be nobly dead like the lion. Being on earth alive is better, no matter how you cut the cookie, than being dead like a lion who has great nobility. And thus, the recognition of the inevitable, that we aren't going to stay alive, the recognition of that we put aside, we try to put it into oblivion, and make it something that isn't going to happen. Thus, death. Better to be a living dog than a dead lion. Now, having said that, you now go to verse 5, and it's going to direct, in the light of that statement, you go to verse 5. For the living, I'm going to tell you why. Because the living know that they shall die. The living are knowing that they're going to die. They know they're going to die. They are always aware they're going to die. Or they can be knowing, if they choose, they're going to die. That the living may know that they shall die. But the dead know not anything. The dead don't know anything at all. They don't have anything. There's no more human. They don't go to the grocery store. They don't have take aspirin. They don't have any connection to life at all. No connection. None. For the living, verse 5, know that they shall die. But the dead know not anything. They don't know anything. Neither have they any more a reward. They have no more hire. They can, in other words, you can't get a job. You can't go to work and get a paycheck and go buy this and go do that. The dead have no more reward. The word reward, is to hire in this life, to labor, to toil, to get the reward for labor, toil. And so here in verse 5, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. They don't know. And we just shared why. Because once you die, you have no more connection. You don't worry about the light bill. You don't worry about anything. Because you have no more human connection. When you come to verse 5, the middle, neither have they any more reward. They can't go to work, hire, toil, labor. They don't do that anymore. No more material thing. Everything is finished once you die, as far as earth goes. For the memory of them, to forget, they are forgotten. People forget them. They forget. They are not known. They are forgotten. Thus, if you can, in chapter 5 and in verse 6, now you're going to add to that, if I can. Well, before I do that, let me go backwards here. Before we do that, go with me over if you would. Remember now, in order to keep this into a good, profitable focus, you want to benefit from this. So, what do you, and he's going to really go and slam home the point, God is, when you come to verse 7. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine and with a merry heart. This is it. If you're going to leave God out, you've got nothing, nothing at all. Now, in order to keep that in some perspective, go with me, please, over in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let me just run by us, you, some very basic truths that you should understand, at least have them right up front in your mind. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, picking up, if I may, in remember, it's speaking of the resurrection. And we're comparing now here. If we're going to look at life, we're going to look at it and your human existence. And if you look at human existence, it has a terminating point. And yet it's built into us that it isn't the end. The end isn't the end. We'd like to think it is from a human standpoint, and we go into oblivion. There are religious systems that have they speak of annihilation. When you die, you're in, just like a squirrel, a leaf, or something else. It's all over. Annihilation. Gone. No more. But the human heart knows that that isn't true. God puts it into them, eternity in their heart. 1 Corinthians 15, in the light of the resurrection, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope, remember, a living dog at least has hope. A dead lion has no expectancy in the light of the future. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So if this is it, boy, are we in trouble. And thus, Ecclesiastes pops out of the pages, and Solomon says, listen, if you're going to live under the sun, this is how it is. And you have to understand how your human mind and system works. We are of all men most miserable if this in this life only we have hope. If there's nothing beyond this, then this is it, and a dead dog is better than a living, a dead dog. I always try to kill the dog. I don't want to kill the dog. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, with that in mind, in this life only, if that's it, we are of all men most miserable because we have nothing. We have no hope at all. There is no hope. There is no expectancy. Now, lining up with someone that was very, very close to God, go with me, please, over to Job. The book of Job, chapter 1. And in the book of Job, chapter 1, picking up, please, remember now Job is being clipped in God's dealing with him. The devil wants to get him. God is going to allow the devil to go so far as to take his sons and daughters, to take his health, ultimately, to take all of his servants, to take all of his wealth, his animals, his flocks, to take everything from him. God is going to allow that. The devil says, this guy doesn't really trust you. And God says, yes, he does. So, and he's a perfect man. He's a complete heart for me. I'm going to let all of that happen. I'm going to let all that happen to prove something to the devil and to help Job. Job is going to be exercised now. Remember, life, death. Verse 21, Job 1 and 21. And said, Job is now going to worship God, the end of verse 20. He fell on the ground and worshiped. That's what you do in the crises of all crises, down on your face, as it were, and worship God. Thus, verse 21, and said, Being very realistic, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job was looking to God, and God gave it all. God could take it. After all, he's in charge. It's his. And he said, I came in with nothing. I'm going to go out with nothing. And I want you to know that blessed be the name of God who makes it all happen, the start and the finish. So now, and Job didn't sin. Job had an exercise, though. Solomon had an exercise. Job had a higher exercise even than Solomon. Job chapter 3. And in verse 1, remember, Job is covered with the plague from head to toe. He's covered with the plague. After this, chapter 3 and verse 1, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man, child conceive. In looking at everything, it's all gone. It was better that I never started. Verse 16. Or as an untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light. Where there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. On the other side, if you don't have any life on earth, then you're missing you're missing the trouble, you're missing the trial, you're missing the everything. It's not there. Never, if you're not born, you never face it. Verse 18. There the prisoners rest together, and they hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small, verse 19, and great are there. And the servant is free from his master. There's no more on the human kind of relationship. It is all finished. Finished in an awesome way. Chapter 14. Job is looking at his world. Everything is bad from a human standpoint. His physical body. His own wife says, curse God and die. All his family is gone, his wealth, his everything. Chapter 14, and in verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. It just disappears. Verse 5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. God, you already know the number of days the person's going to be on earth. You know the number of his months. Thou hast appointed the bounds that he cannot pass. You can't live one day longer than God wants. 1 second longer than God wants. You can't do it. Can't do it. God, you've already got it marked out. You already know it. Teach us to number our days, as you've been speaking of. Now, having said that, God, you have it all. That's right. And if you leave God out, how are you going to put the pieces together? How is it going to work for you? Now, and Job did not charge God foolishly. He understood God. God had a wonderful plan and purpose, and he did. Matthew chapter 10. And picking up in thought. What else do we want to know? God is in charge of coming in and going out. No question about it. Matthew 10, and picking up, please, verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. They can kill the physical being. They cannot kill the person. You cannot, even when you operate on surgery, they cannot operate on your person. They operate on your body. They can't operate on your person. No one can operate on your person. You can louse yourself up inside, and people mentally can do all kinds of things, and we can do it and allow it to be done. But the body can't do it. They kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, in judgment, in forever. So we're to fear God. Don't worry about the body. Job said, listen, it's better I was never born, in the sense that I wouldn't have any of this. But God, you have a great person, a rhyme and reason for it, and therefore it is. And I know that I'm more than a body. I know I'm more than a body covered with plague. I know I'm more than all my sons and daughters that were there. I know that they are more than just a body. I know that. So, over in your Bible, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. So we know we're more than that, and Solomon is saying if you don't put the pieces together, you are not doing very good. Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, remember the rich fellow that said, I'm going to just keep going and going, I've got everything. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So you're going to die, your soul, your body and soul. I'm going to keep going. No, God said, I'm going to take your soul. I'm the one that takes the soul. The devil takes the soul. No, the devil can't take your soul. The devil can occupy your soul, a demon possession, unsaved, but he can't take your soul. Soul belongs to God. Person belongs to God. No one can take that. God has the beginning of it and the end of it, the days, the months, and that it's marked out in God's wonderful caring and time. Over now to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Looking at Romans chapter 5, just adding a piece. God, what are you going to do? What did you do to help us? Chapter 5, and picking up, please, in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, for scarcely, hardly, for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wonderful person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, he died. The great issue to understand is that we can't understand death unless we understand life. And if we don't understand life, then how do we cope and how do we define and how do we handle death? And we're always trying to avoid. Better a living dog than a dead lion. I mean, we can't put the pieces together. Thus, with that little thought in mind, death is seen differently when you look at life. Life gives you a whole nother view. A whole nother view, another person, God. God makes your whole world see the world differently. From one person. Nothing, just the fact that God is changes your whole world. One person. Same air, same clouds, few snowflakes. Supposed to be just a few snowflakes. One person. Now, having said that, go with me, please, over. Death, life gives us a huge advantage. Go with me over to John chapter 5. That's John chapter 5. You just lock it in so you... John 5, all the way through the Gospel of John in particular. John chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 24. The Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, most assuredly, amen," is the word. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," that's God the Father, sent the Son, that sent me, "hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation," judgment, "but that is but a person that's believing is passed from death unto life." A person is passed from death unto life. You look to God in the person of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, the whole world changes. The importance of friend, foe, family, job, health, wealth, coming, going, it all changes. It all changes. Thus, in the end of verse 24, it is passed from death unto life. How so? John, remember, the believe on me. Believe, my Father sent me. If you understand who I am, then you will understand everything changes. Everything changes. And you have death. Death is turned into life. And you haven't even gone anywhere. Didn't move. All you did is believe. And that person, God, in Christ, made all the difference. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Picking up, if I may, in verse, you're familiar with it. Remember, Martha was concerned, a brother died, Lazarus, etc. And they were looking at it not from a biblical standpoint, they were looking at it from a Jewish standpoint. That someday people die and someday something good will happen in the future, somewhere in between, God knows. John 11, and in verse 25. Jesus said unto her, in the light of she's thinking of the resurrection, he had to straighten that out. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? Do you really believe that I'm that person? I'm standing in front of you. Lazarus is laying there, buried and here he is. God said, "Do you understand that I, Lazarus there, Martha, Mary, people, do you understand that I, the person, am life? To know me is to know life everlasting. To know, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that I am who I am?" See, that's. That's all. Do you believe who I am, David? But what about the experience? No, nothing to do with experience. It has to do with the person. The person of the living God. Solomon, what's your problem? Well, we leave God out. We leave God out. And when you leave God out, boy, you've got nothing. Trying to figure out how to get through life with all the ups and downs. Now, having said that, the end of verse 26... Shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And picking up in verse 51. The Lord Jesus speaking, "Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, If a man keep my sayings, he shall never, what? Never. Now, never means what? Never. Do you believe that if you believe in me, you will never die? Never die. I'm in charge of life. It's a relationship. Understand, it isn't a feeling. It isn't whether you can eat some more Cheerios or something. It's a relationship to who I am. Do you understand I am the resurrection and the life? You understand that if you have believe and rest in me, you can never die. Never die. Here in chapter 8 and in verse 51, he shall never see death. Never see death at all. The wonderful saving work. When we were in our sins, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Now, over, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 10. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath the person of our Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, the good news. We share that on Wednesday. You're supposed to be full of good news, excitingly about good news. See, we get all kinds of, no, let your mind be governed by good news, God's good news. See everything in the light of God's wonderful person. See everything in the light of life, L-I-F-E. Thus, Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. So we're looking at life, we're looking at an understanding of how it works. It's a person, and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ makes all the difference. And everything seems the same, but it isn't anymore. Everything is different. Luke chapter 20, and going to verse 27. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection, and they asked him. Now, they didn't, Pharisees believed in resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in resurrection. So here, if I can, picking up in thought, you get the idea. They want to know who dies read verse 28. Saying, Master Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, he die without children, that his brother shall take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. And there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children. The second took a wife and died without children. The third took her in like manner, and seven also. And they left no children, died. Everyone went through the cycle, and no children. Verse 32, last of all, the woman died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For even whose wife them is she? For seven had her to wife. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Verse 34. Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But, verse 35, they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Verse 36. Neither can they die anymore. Why not? For they are equal unto the angels. Angels never die. And are the children of God, even the children of the resurrection. And thus, don't you know that they can't die? People, it's only in this life. It's only with human relations, human body, human issue and problem. That's when you die. Otherwise, you don't die. You don't die. You're meant to live forever. And you're either going to live one way or the other. You're going to exist. But isn't it good if you have life so that you can understand how to handle death? Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. In our Lord's finishing off, he makes a statement. His word, chapter 21, picking up, please, in verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There shall be no more. There can be no more. To know the living and only God, his person, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, makes all the difference in the world. Just to know him as our Savior. We live in the same body, same world, same job, same heartache, headache. It's just different. God, you make the difference. And thus we can never die. We are to have a unique and wonderful living relationship to you. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2. And thus, the great fear of death, king of fears, remember. Think of all the phobias, and all phobias end up back with death. Death. They all are out here. They all slide back to death. A fear of death. Dying. Now, Hebrews 2. In the light of that, there is no more death to those that have life. You have passed from death unto life, a believing heart. Chapter 2. Death still is around, but we don't see it in the same way anymore. Chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, to put it to an end. Verse 15. And to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, to the bondage of the terrible, awesome thought that everything I have is going to go into oblivion, but it isn't really oblivion. There's a judgment, and I don't want to have to think about it. I don't want to even consider it, and thus it's better to be a living dog than a dead lion. Thus, with that little bit, go over with me, please, over to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you will note, chapter 15, going to verse 25. And he must reign, the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect man, till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's the last one. And death is an enemy of life. Life. It opposes life. Death, life. It's the opposite. The opposite. The last thing that's going to go is death. The last enemy to life. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, you see. The living. So it's going to terminate. Has to be put aside. Death has to be eliminated. And it is going to be eliminated. Absolutely eliminated. Would you go over with me, over in your John chapter 5, Gospel of John chapter 5. And picking up the thought, chapter 5, in the light of resurrection, verse 29. I'll read verse 28, a little bit of the context. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, judgment. One or the other. When I summon them, everyone, no matter sea, under the sea, no matter where they died, no matter how they died, every human being I'm going to call forth from Sheol, etc., Hades, I'm going to call them all forth. Everyone's going to come, either to resurrection of life or a resurrection of death. They're going to keep going. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And picking up in thought, if I can, in the church in Smyrna, chapter, Revelation 2, verse 11. And he is the promise now. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. There's another death that's just going to terminate. Be no more after that. It's all finished. All finished. A complete eternal separation from God. And yet you're never separated from God. No one can ever be separated from God. You're either in life or in a state without him, positively with resurrection life, resurrection death. You're going to be one or the other, dead or alive. That is, you have a saving relationship or you do not. Thus, chapter 20. The promise is that you won't take part of the second death. Revelation chapter 20. And picking up chapter 20, in verse 6 to get it directly. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on which the second death hath no power, no authority. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. The second death is going to claim those that are resurrected unto death, resurrected unto life. Those that are resurrected unto life, 20 and verse 6, are blessed. They're blessed. They have an eternal living relationship to God, a wonderful relationship to God that lasts forever. The second death is going to claim all the rest, and it is eternal separation from God. They're going to be fully, fully alive, but not on earth. They're going to be fully alive in the lake of fire. Fully alive. Just like they are here. How can we keep going here? Well, God said you're going to end up dying physically, and you're going to be accountable. And you either know him or you don't. If you don't know him, then you're going to go, and you're going to keep going. You're not going to disappear. You're going to either be into life or to death. You're either going to be one place or the other. That's the way it is. Now, having said that, go over with me, please, to Revelation, you're here, chapter 14. Revelation and 14. What do we know about the believer? The believing believer is to be believing. And in Revelation chapter 14, picking up just the thought so you get it to the pieces, chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest in their labors and their works do follow them. Blessed are they that die in the Lord, that die in the Lord. Not only are they believers, but they die in a most unique and wonderful way. Go over with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6. and the believing heart in light of the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, picking up, please, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing what? That Christ, being raised from the dead, can die, what? No more. Death hath no more dominion, power, authority over him. No more. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now, application of the fact that when Christ died, he died. He took you and I in his own body on the tree. We died, he died. He took and we died. Blessed are the dead. Blessed are the dead in the Lord. Verse 11, likewise reckon, calculate, compute yourselves also, to be dead indeed unto sin. How that we don't feel it, we don't try to conjure it up. We go by the sheer fact that God said, that's what I did, so that you can have a relationship to me. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. They are wonderfully, wonderfully blessed. They're blessed. And thus, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. A wonderful life. Do you believe that you'll never die? Do you believe that you have life? Can never change. You don't stop. Life doesn't stop. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you received him. He never changes. He just stays who he is. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderfully God. And he blesses the heart in a most wonderful way with his life. So you can never be less other than, you never can be without him. And you can never have less than what he has, and that's life. And God said you have no more death. No more death. You understand that? Now, with that, God, help us. Over to Psalm 116, you know. Psalm 116. And in Psalm 116, picking up directly that which you could perhaps quote. Chapter 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the, what? The death of his saints. Now, blessed are they that die in the Lord. They're blessed. They're blessed. See? Now, having said that, on the other side of the coin, go to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. And in Ezekiel chapter 18, remember all about, we're trying to say our parents, our heritage, we're from a given background, we have given credentials, we have given privileges and opportunities, and that makes us something. And the Jewish people were using that in the day when Nebuchadnezzar was leveling the city. And Ezekiel said, you can't do that. You can't do that at all. Thus, chapter 18, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. A soul that sinneth, it shall die. They can kill your body, they can't kill your soul. Only God is in charge of your soul. You can louse it up, but you can't kill it. And it's going to keep going, one place or the other. You're not going to stop being a person. Now, they were saying that they could make it based on something or something other than their own personal relationship to God. And they can't do that. All souls are mine. Every soul is accountable to God. Thus, verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all? that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. I'm not interested in people dying. I'm interested in people living. If I wanted them to die, I would have never sent my son. Because they'd all be dead. They could never have life. I sent my son so that they could have life. That's why I sent him, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have life in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, you're here, why not? Verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, 18:32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. I want you to live. Turn around. I want you to look to me. I want you to look unto me as I want the whole earth to look unto me, Isaiah 45. I want the whole earth to look and be saved. But you know they don't look. They don't look at who I am and what I've done. I want them to be saved, and they aren't. John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8. So, in our little quick survey, to have a little sense of Solomon, what are you trying to help us with? Well, if you'll understand why a dead dog is better than a living dog is better than a dead lion, you'll understand why. You understand, because it's all you got to do is eat, drink, and be merry and die. That's all you got going for you. And that's a bit of irony, you know. Give me an opposite. Go do it, because you don't have anything else. That's all you got is go eat your dinner. And that's it. And hope you can have another dinner, you see. Now, John chapter 8. And you are familiar, may I read it, very sobering and wonderful. About, you got to look to God. He that cometh to me must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. John 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me. Ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Verse 24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. That's where it is. Simply a person, see. If we could just figure some little mechanism, something to do and not do. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's all centered in the lovely person of God revealed to us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Simply. Thus, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 1, going, if I can, to verse 18. Remember John? John is there. He fell on his face. That's verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And by the way, John, I have the keys, full authority. I have full authority of hell and of death. I'm fully in charge. Absolutely in charge. No one else. No devil. No idolatry, no imagery, no 1,000,000,000 prayers. God said, I make the decision. And you leave the decision with me. And you look to me, because I'm the source of your life. And you enjoy a unique relationship to me, because of who I am. And you enjoy life. Practice living. Practice living. And you put aside all of the problems and fears of death and all that goes with it, everything that goes with it. Wow. Anyway, thank you for that. I meant to go further than that, but hope you got a little bit on that little review.